to 38 and then 47 to 52. Now let's hear God's word. So the people asked Jesus, "What marvelous sign then will you give that we may see and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he, Moses, gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "So," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." And verse 47, "I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And then the Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Amen. May God add his own blessing to the reading of his word. And before we turn what would a dream come true be for you? What would turn your world upside down and give you a new life? Would it come from sitting in that chair? And in the opposite chair is Chris Tarrant. And yes, there's just one more question to go. And you've used up your phone-a-friend card and ask the audience card. So you're on your own, but you're going to have a go. And you're decided to go for the big one. So you ask for the question. And the question is given to you. And it just so happens that it relates to a page from which you were reading in Encyclopedia Britannica the previous evening for bedtime reading. So you know the answer. And you give the answer, and eureka, you've got it. And you've scooped the jackpot. Would that give you a new life? Now, many, many people would deny it in their heads, but many, many people, and probably the same people, would actually believe it in their hearts. At Christmas time, I bought Anne, as one of her Christmas presents, the quiz book, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, in the hope that she would take it away and swat up all the questions and all the answers, and then I could shove her onto the show, and in the belief that they would probably repeat a number of the questions, well, she might win the prize and life would begin again. But would it? Well, we all know this morning, of course, that the big prize and the lottery prize wouldn't bring us the life that we're all looking for. And let me say that everybody here this morning in church and everybody outside in the parish is looking for something in life. What is it? And how do you get it? Friends, I stand in the pulpit this morning with the answer in my hands. The answer to our hunger and to our longings. Jesus Christ said, John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So here is the Bible's answer contained in the Bible's teaching. Somebody once said that there are always three questions that you should ask about the Bible's teaching about anything. Question one, what? What's the explanation? Question two, so what? What's the application to us? Question three, now what? What's the action we are to take? And I want to use these three questions to look at this famous statement. Firstly, what is the explanation? What does Jesus as bread mean? Now you may have noticed in the reading that he makes this claim twice in verses 35 and 48. And in verse 35 he means, no more dissatisfaction for the human soul. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. No more dissatisfaction. That's the first thing. The core dissatisfaction. Now, what's the context of this remarkable text? You've probably heard it said in the past that a text without a context is a con. And a preacher must be careful not to con the hearers. So what's the context in chapter 6 of John's Gospel? Well, it's a very famous story of the feeding of the 5,000 with bread. And you'll remember from that story that after the miracle is completed, there are 12 baskets of bread filled up at the end. Now, after that event, Jesus crosses over to the other side of the lake, to Capernaum, probably to the synagogue and possibly to preach. And the people there ask him, verse 30, what miraculous sign will you give that we may believe you? Now to me that is an astonishing question to ask from people who have just witnessed the feeding of 5,000 with a few bread sandwiches. But they go on to say, verse 31, our forefathers ate manna in the desert. He, Moses, gave them bread from heaven to eat. In other words, this is what I think they're saying. Jesus, that was a real miracle that Moses did. Moses gave bread to tens of thousands of Israelites every day for 40 years in a wilderness. You fed 5,000 with bread for a few hours. Big deal. And I think in reply, it's as though Jesus says this. Yes, you're dead right. That was no big deal. And neither was Moses' provision of manna. For these both have to do with material bread, which feeds and fades and leaves you hungry. And in contrast to that, there is spiritual bread which nourishes your souls, which lasts forever and forever. So get a hold of this. This is a big deal. I am the bread of life. And he who comes to me will never be hungry. Never be hungry again. Now that's something, isn't it? For there is a hunger inside we who are human beings. And this hunger on the inside, it seems to me, is very often expressed on the outside in material terms. And further, it seems to me that we human beings channel our inward needs in at least four areas of outward concerns. I wonder if you agree with me when I list them. The first area, money and things. And this could cover homes, houses, possessions, clothes, and anything. The second area, pleasure and fun. And this could cover holidays, hobbies, interests, sports, drink, drugs, sex, whatever. The third area, people and relationships. And this could cover marriage and family, partners, friends, colleagues, social life, popularity with others. The fourth area, I would suggest, where we channel our inward needs to outward concerns, the fourth area, success and achievement. And that could cover getting on in life, making money, a nice job and career, helping others, doing good, or being appreciated. Four areas, I would suggest. Now, perhaps that's an oversimplification, but it is, I would think, a summary of the way that inward needs are channeled onto outward concerns. Now, focusing our lives on any of these four areas, or all four, will never bring inner satisfaction. Never. And the more people go in for these four areas, money, pleasure, relationships, success, the more that they're likely to experience inside dissatisfaction. Indeed, more than that, they're liable to experience at times misery. And I suppose most of us have experienced that at some time. Now, why is there all this dissatisfaction? Well, because our hunger inside is essentially something that's spiritual. We are hungering deep down, underneath the surface, for peace and love and joy and being good. And who is it that answers these core needs? Well, it's only God, because he's made us in his image. C.S. Lewis very famously said, in every human being there's a God-shaped blank, and only God can fill it. And you see, Jesus is saying that he is God's Son, came down from heaven to earth, and to die on earth to fill that God-shaped blank in all of us, and to bring to us the core satisfaction that we need. So that's what it means here, firstly. Jesus Christ alone can fill the core satisfaction in my heart and your heart. No more dissatisfaction if you find Jesus. But secondly, Jesus means here from verse 48, not only no more dissatisfaction, but no more death. If you find Jesus, verse 48, I am the bread of life. Verse 50, which a man may eat and not die. Verse 51, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Now, bread, of course, is staple diet in the world. Go anywhere in the world and into any country and culture, and you'll find the equivalent of bread, so that people might not die. Whenever we see planes and helicopters delivering food to Ethiopia or India or any famine-stricken part of the world, what is it they drop from planes and helicopters? Well, it's sacks of grain and flour and bread. Why? So that the people will not die. Bread is necessary for life, was in the first century and is in many parts of the 21st century, so Jesus Christ gives security for death and life after death. I am the bread of life, which if a man eats, he will not die. Now, it's vital for us to grasp this, because there are many people around, I would guess, who would say that they lead completely satisfying lives. They've had a good family background, they've got great jobs, wonderful marriages, lovely friends, stimulating interests, fine health, they have engaged in useful service in the community, they've lived long years, and having had a good life, they're ready to die. But are they? Jesus once said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, in the sense I've just described, yet loses his own soul? And what can a person give in exchange for his soul? What's the good of all these things and claiming satisfaction in life and yet lose your soul? Only Jesus gives eternal life. I am the bread of life. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. I am. Now, Jewish hearers, whenever they listen to these words, I am, would immediately think of the Old Testament story of Moses, which we remember from Sunday school days. Moses in the burning bush, and the voice from the bush which said, I am who I am, and gave Moses a commission. And remember, Moses then asked for a bit more information. Tell me, he said to the voice in the burning bush, tell me what is your name, so that I will go and tell others your name and the name of the one who has sent me to Pharaoh. And the voice said, I am. Now that's the name of God, and it's God's way of speaking. It's not our way of speaking. As a human being, I would say, I was in the manse yesterday. I am in the church today. I will be in Dundee tomorrow. I was, I am, I will be. That's how we human beings speak. But God says, I am, I am, I am, I am. There is an I am-ness about God. There is an awesomeness about God, his deity, his divinity, his mystery, the godness of God. And you see what's happening. Jesus is taking that term from that familiar Old Testament story, and he's applying it to himself, and he's saying, I am the bread of life. 17 times in verses 35 to 40, Jesus uses I, me, or my. He's pointing to himself and he's saying, I am God the Son who's come to earth, to die on earth, that you might live forever. So here's the explanation of the text. What does it mean? It means that Jesus alone, the living Jesus alone, gives satisfaction in life and security in death. So what? Well, it tells us a lot about our society. For example, as we walk down a street in Glasgow, what do the images on the billboards and the bus shelters tell us? We are told that a clean shave with the razor will make us more appealing to the ladies. There's a certain brand of low-cal beer that will revolutionize sex appeal. There's wearing a certain brand of sports shoe which will improve not only our sporting prowess, but possibly our health as well. And if Ben Sherman's shirts are anything to go by, we're not buying quality only, but we're buying into a wonderful new lifestyle. One product designer admitted that the purpose of his job was to create a hunger in us for things and objects we don't need and possibly don't want. Well, that can never satisfy the hunger inside, and we're being conned. And the hunger for human relationships will not be satisfied. Some have a very strong single-mindedness for pursuing satisfying relationships. And this has a funny side at times. Did you read in last week's newspapers about the female residents in a nursing home in Renfrewshire who are particularly keen when a new man comes to the home to stay? Men die younger than women, according to the statistics, apparently. And so a fresh face came to the home to stay, and one woman in particular was very keen to find out all she could about this individual. Where did he come from? What did he do? And eventually the fellow admitted that he'd recently been released from prison. But she didn't give up, and eventually got him to admit what he was inside for. And reluctantly, he told her, I murdered my wife with an axe. And after digesting the news, she thought and said, so you're single then? Well, she was single-minded in her pursuit. And we human beings are single-minded, often about trying to satisfy our inward hunger with human relationships. And that's why sometimes we experience such pain. There was a little boy who had just learned to speak, say a few words. And one day he came out with these words. He just said, pain in tummy, pain in tummy, pain in tummy. The parents wondered what this was, what had caused it, why it was there, what they could do about it. Was it appendicitis, peritonitis, perish the thought? And then they found out that what he was really saying is, I'm hungry, where's the food? Now behind the pain and troubles in life that we experience, there is often the hunger, the inward spiritual hunger. And only Jesus Christ can meet that spiritual hunger. Jean-Paul Sartre, the novelist and atheist, said, that God does not exist, I cannot deny. But that my whole being cries out for God, I cannot forget. It's the cry of the human heart for that which it knows not, but which Jesus Christ came to supply. He brings the life of God into the heart of the human soul. Life for the whole world. Verse 37, Jesus as bread is relevant to everyone. Jack Sprat could eat no fat, his wife could eat no lean, but bread is for everyone. Caviar, like cakes and confectionery, are for the few, but bread is for everyone, and Jesus as bread offers himself to absolutely everyone. There is nobody in this church who can say, that's not for me. You know, there are some people who say, perhaps Jesus Christ is just offering himself to some categories of people. But Jesus never said that he wouldn't offer himself to the hopeless, or to the backsliders, or to those who were not the elect. Now it is true from verse 37 that God has to draw people to himself and to Jesus, but he draws those who want to be drawn. I am the bread of life. It's relevant to absolutely everybody here and their hunger and spiritual need. Now what? Well, action is required. He who believes in me, that's what's required. It's belief. Now that's what the Galileans in John 6 refused to do, verse 42. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I come down from heaven? They would not believe. And there are Galileans still amongst Christian congregations today. They're down-to-earth folks who don't believe in taking religion too far and don't go in for all this Bible stuff and prayer stuff and Jesus stuff. But Jesus says to such, you've seen me and still you do not believe. And believing is the one requirement apparently that God needs. Verse 29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one who sent me. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Believing's much more than just saying something with the top of one's head. That's just an opinion. Belief in the Bible is something much more than that. And he gives us a couple of pictures. First of all, he says, it's those who come to me who will never hunger. Now, there are many people who say, I believe. But the question is, do they come to Christ? Do you believe? Well, do you come to Christ and ask him to feed your soul and to be your Savior? That's the question. Action is needed. It's coming to Jesus. From time to time we have a little jumble sale out there in the vestibule when we gather up all the bits and pieces and objects that people have left behind in church over the many months, 6 months, 9 months, and we put them all out on the vestibule table. Spectacles, spectacle cases, pens, notepaper, scarves, anoraks,
30 Bibles, 50 pairs of gloves, 101 umbrellas. And we give the invitation, come and get them, pick them up. Very few people come and collect what is there for them. Very few, so we have to bin them. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, comes and asks for that spiritual life. The other picture that Jesus gives here is of eating. The person who eats of this bread, he will live forever. It's a very vivid metaphor, and it describes the action that we must take. You see, knowledge is not enough. You can sit in a restaurant and you can identify all the dishes on the menu, and you can even refer to them in their French names, all the way from potage des légumes to crêpe Suzette. But if you don't eat any of them, the knowledge does you no good whatsoever. You've got to take and eat to find the nourishment. Now, you get the point, obviously. It's not our head knowledge that counts. It's action. That's what belief is, not only coming to Christ and asking, but taking Christ into one's very life and being and going through the days with him and allowing Christ to be in our choices and in our decisions and in our actions and reactions and interactions. Taking Christ. That's what eating means in this sense. And it's not something you do three times a year. It's something for every Sunday. It's something for every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus Christ to nourish our souls. Now what are we going to do this morning? Jesus, who is bread of life, is with us. He cares for you. He loves you. He died for such as you. And he invites you to believe and come to him and ask and eat of him and be fed by him. And those to come to Christ, he will never, never, never cast out. May God bless his word to you. Let's pray together.